It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 98 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And today we're going to be continuing our X-Wing Fundamentals series, today talking about the bomb upgrade cards.
Yes, it's a new year, so we thought we'd start the year off by going back to some fundamental concepts here, talking about bomb cards, which have become very relevant in the last several waves of X-Wing. So today, we're going to break down how bombs differentiate themselves from other weapon types. We're going to look a little bit back at the history, and we're going to look at how to use bombs efficiently.
Yeah, I'm excited to continue this series of fundamental upgrade cards. So let's get to it.
All right, to start off our discussion about bombs, we're going to first look at how bombs differentiate themselves from other weapon types, like primary weapon attacks, torpedoes and missiles, and cannons.
Yeah, so bombs are perhaps the most different of the secondary weapons, mainly due to the fact that they don't really work during the combat phase. All the other previous secondary upgrade cards really just gave you different ways to roll attack dice, usually rolling more attack dice or rolling more accurately.
Yeah, in the case of things like torpedoes, missiles, cannons, and turrets, while they can do some really cool stuff and have some great perks, they are very similar to primary weapon attacks in that you're rolling a certain amount of red dice, and then your opponent's going to roll a certain amount of green dice, and you're going to compare results. Bombs take us in a whole new direction.
Bombs get straight to the point. They just do direct damage. No defense dice needs to get involved.
Like some other secondary weapon options, they do have a point cost, so if you're adding them to your squad, you're going to invest in a couple points per upgrade card. And they also generally have a finite quantity, so once you use up your bomb inventory, you're not going to be able to use any more bombs, same as you would see with torpedoes and missiles.
Right, so it's really only in the list building step that they're pretty similar to torpedoes and missiles. But then once you get into the game, bombs are going to occupy their own space. They're going to try and deal damage during the activation phase. What they really do is they weaponize your ability to maneuver and anticipate your opponent's maneuvers. Where when you're using primary weapons and secondary weapons, you do still want to anticipate your opponent's maneuvers and plan good maneuvers so you can set up great shots, but you can kind of just skip all of the uncertainty. If you guess the right maneuver, you can just deal some direct damage with bombs.
Yeah, most secondary weapon types resolve during the combat phase, and it's theoretically possible that you might have a bomb resolve during the combat phase if you are given access to an action and drop an action bomb. But for the most part, bombs ignore many of the conventions that other weapon types have. You're dealing the damage or effect outside of the combat phase, and the damage can't be reduced by agility values on ships or defense tokens, which means it's generally a lot more reliable if you're able to make that bomb detonate near a ship. And the last point to bring up, and it's one of the reasons that bombs are really effective, especially in the metagame now, is that bomb effects and bomb damage occurs separate from your normal weapon attacks. So normally, if you're using a secondary weapon like a missile, torpedo, cannon, or turret, that's happening instead of your primary weapon attack. Whereas in the case of bombs, your bomb damage can be in addition to a primary or secondary weapon attack. So you can actually get multiple sources of damage from your ships in a single turn.
Right, and so while bombs themselves don't do too much damage, that's extra damage added on top of what your other attack is. And they've had quite an interesting history, kind of starting from pretty humble and now really building up to quite a powerful upgrade slot.
Yeah, and to that end, we should probably look at the two major bomb types we have here now. These have been present ever since they were introduced in Wave 2 of X-Wing. You've got two types of bombs, maneuver bombs, which are bombs that are dropped when you reveal your maneuver dial, and then you also have action bombs, which require you to spend an action to drop them, and typically they detonate when a ship passes through them or when the token is placed overlapping a ship's base.
Right, so maneuver bombs are going to be placed right before you move, usually. And then they're going to detonate at the end of the activation phase and hit every ship within range one. So these bombs are usually only dealing like one damage or dealing out some sort of control effect, but they're going to hit every ship within that zone. And range one from one of those little bomb tokens is actually a pretty wide area. So you can sometimes catch a whole squad, and that's really where they're most effective, is dealing against swarm lists or squadrons that want to be in a tight formation, because you can deal that damage to all those ships.
Action bombs, on the other hand, are reactionary and usually occur after you've moved, unless you have some other effect that allows you to perform actions outside of your normal action step. Oftentimes, these bombs will get used by dropping them directly in front of or directly on top of a ship as well. They do have a pretty high cost in that they cost you your action in order to deploy these bombs, but oftentimes they'll target one ship and deal a pretty substantial amount of damage.
Yeah, and so while both bombs aren't dealing too much damage, what they are doing is dealing direct damage that ignores your opponent's agility value. So they're particularly good against ships with high agility or with lots of evade token shenanigans that will cancel out your primary or other secondary weapon attacks. But bombs get around that, and they really shine against low hit point, high agility ships like the TIE Interceptor or Protectorate Fighter.
Yeah, action bombs in particular have proved to be pretty effective against those high pilot skill, very maneuverable ships, where not only are you ignoring their token defense and agility values, but oftentimes ships that are carrying these bombs have kind of an advantage if they're coming in at a lower pilot skill, where they can set maneuvers already knowing where the enemy ship's going to be so that they can drop the action bombs directly on top of or in front of those low hit point ace ships.
Yeah, and while maneuver bombs can do a pretty considerable amount of damage to an ace, just percentage based on their hit points, an action bomb could potentially one-shot them or take away multiple turns of actions. But they can be a little tricky to use. You got to make sure you get it in the exact right spot.
Yeah, bombs have proven to be a pretty effective tool at the hands of a skilled X-Wing player, and they become a very important part of the X-Wing game. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We are ready to announce our January raffle prize winners.
This month, we have three prizes to give away. We have a Spot Gloss Biggs Darklighter promo card. Very cool art on that. We also have a bundle of Applied Perspective tokens. Good variety in there.
These are some really high-quality X-Wing tokens that look great on any game mat. Really cool collection, and I do love Applied Perspective. That's a Minnesota company, so we really love supporting those guys.
Yeah, that's who we use for all of our sweet target locks. And then we're also going to be giving away a new Resistance Bomber expansion pack.
Yes, in honor of The Last Jedi, we've got a full, brand new Resistance Bomber that we're going to be giving away right now.
So you can launch all of those bombs.
So our first winner, winning the Applied Perspective tokens, is Justin Baird from Indiana. Congratulations, Justin. Winning the Spot Gloss Biggs promo card is Luke Gerod from Norway.
And winning the Resistance Bomber expansion pack, we have Robert Coleman from Louisiana. So thank you, Robert, Luke, and Justin, for supporting the show, and thank you to all of our patron supporters.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. If you'd like to support the show and be eligible for next month's raffle, please go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show at any level.
And now, back to the cast.
All right, so let's dive into a little bit of a history of what bombing has been in X-Wing. It started out pretty limited and now has grown to become a really fundamental part of the game.
Yeah, and it all started in Wave 2 with such an iconic ship, the Fire Spray, better known as the Slave 1.
Yeah, this was the first bombing platform we saw in X-Wing, and coming along with this expansion, we saw two bomb cards, which very well embody the kind of prototypical styles of the two main bombing types, maneuver bombs and action bombs.
Yeah, for maneuver bombs, we got the Seismic Charge, which is a two-point bomb card that reads, when you reveal your maneuver dial, you may discard this card to drop one Seismic Charge token. And then that token detonates at the end of the activation phase.
And when the Seismic Charge detonates, it deals one damage to each ship at range one of the token. On the action bomb front, we saw the Proximity Mines, which is a fairly large circular token. When that one gets dropped using an action, if a ship overlaps it or it's dropped over the base of a ship, that ship will roll three attack dice and suffer any hits or crits.
Yeah, and so while they didn't make a big impact early on, these still are pretty good rates for bombs. 2 points for the seismic dealing one damage, but that can be applied to multiple ships if you get them all in range of the token. And then 3 points for the proximity mine, which has the potential to do up to three damage, which could just one-shot like a Soontir Fell. With some other support cards making bombs a little bit better down the road, both proximity mine and seismic charge are still a pretty good choice.
Yeah, they didn't make a huge splash right when they debuted in the game, but it's really important to see where this started and how they have evolved since then, since these are both kind of the baseline for the two main bomb types.
Well, and I think it's a pretty good starting point for bombs. They're both damage bombs. There's no fancy control effects, even though both Ion and Stress were already in the game. Both these bombs were unique enough, just in that ability to deal damage regardless of your opponent's agility, made them an interesting squad choice from the beginning.
After Wave 2, we saw the release of Wave 3, where we saw another Imperial bombing platform, the TIE Bomber, one of the iconic classic Star Wars ships. Coming with this expansion was a new bomb type, the Proton Bomb, which is a maneuver-type bomb. It functions similarly to seismic charges, except that instead of dealing a regular damage, it deals a face-up damage, and this will go under shields.
Yeah, very powerful effect. You know, ships only have 2 hit points, and they get dealt a direct hit. They're just done. Doesn't matter how many shields you have. If you run out of hull points, you're gone.
Well, and just the value of how many strong crits there are out there, hard turns turning red, pilot skill 0, so many critical damage cards could very early on cripple a ship and prevent it from contributing to the fight in the way it was intended to.
Right. They're also pretty powerful against large base ships, where the impact of a critical crippling your large base ship that you invested so many points on is also very powerful. But this power is balanced in just that cost point on the Proton Bomb, 5 points for the one-time use. That's quite a steep price point, especially at Wave 3, and this remains to be the most expensive bomb card.
Yeah, and it was really hard to want to invest those 5 points for a card that you wouldn't necessarily be able to play, or even if you did play it, your other ships could avoid that damage, and you've wasted 5 points, effectively. Part of the problem is that the TIE Bomber has never really been the best platform for bombs. It only has 1 bomb slot, and it's got a pretty good dial. But even with the 6 hit points, you've got no shields on there, so it was very susceptible to critical damage, and even then it could get burned down pretty quick before it got even close enough to start dropping bombs like Proton Bomb.
But you know when that Proton Bomb takes out like an A-Wing or a Corran Horn? Feels pretty good. Definitely worth those 5 points there.
Yeah, that's a real Star Wars-y moment. We did actually see some early on, I think around Wave 4 or 5, some builds with TIE Bombers that proved pretty effectively. You could squeeze in 4 of the Pilot Skill 2 generic TIE Bombers, each with a proximity mine, as well as a Lambda-class shuttle. And that proved to be a pretty interesting list. A lot of hit points to eat through and a lot of bomb-dropping shenanigans.
There was no new bomb stuff in Wave 4, though. And moving on to Wave 5, no new bombs, but we did get a new bomb carrier in the Decimator.
Yes, the VT-49 Decimator is notable for a lot of reasons. It is the first primary weapon turret platform that the Imperials saw. It's got an agility value of 0, which was new for the time, and it's got a single bomb slot, which was still kind of a novel thing to see on X-Wing ships.
Yeah, I mean, usually you don't see them with the bomb. They have a lot of great upgrade slots, like those 3 crew slots that they're usually utilizing. But every now and then, a Decimator takes a bomb, and usually it throws me off guard.
Well, especially if you can slip in something that came out later, like an Ion Bomb, where you can get those control effects when people aren't expecting it. That can be pretty powerful. Though, as a whole, the Decimator's not really known for bombing, and yeah, more often than not, you're not going to see bombs on a Decimator. Wave 6, though, of X-Wing, when we saw the introduction of Scum and Villainy, was a pretty big wave. At least it introduced a lot of new bombing mechanics. Not that many of them stood the test of time.
We should start with the Fire Spray, which started off all of this bombing. With the new Scum Fire Sprays, we also got the Androsta title, granting multiple new bomb slots for the Fire Spray so they could really load up, as well as the Iman Azzamine pilot, allowing you to throw those bombs pretty far.
Iman Azzamine is not the strongest pilot, but it was the first time that we saw a bomb-specific pilot ability where now Iman could drop those bombs not just with the 1 straight, but with the 3 straight or 3 turn templates. We also saw the introduction of the genius Salvaged Astromech card, which allowed you to drop maneuver bombs after you performed your maneuver as opposed to before. This card wasn't terribly relevant right away. I remember people theorycrafting about ways to put it on a Y-Wing with the new bomb loadout card, do a 4K, and then drop a proton bomb, which will, of course, hit your own Y-Wing, but potentially throw out a bunch of face-up critical damage on a group of your opponent's ships. I don't think I ever saw anyone actually be able to do that, but it always seemed like kind of a fun idea.
Right, but later when we do get some higher pilot skill bomb carriers, Genius will be pretty powerful.
To the point where it had a pretty strong errata recently.
We also got the bomb loadout upgrade for Y-Wings, allowing them to swap out their torpedo upgrades for bombs, giving Rebels their first access to dropping bombs.
Yeah, this was the Rebellion's introduction into the bombing world of X-Wing, though Rebels didn't really have any relevant bombing ships until we got to Wave 7.
Yeah, everyone complains now that the Empire is the worst bombing faction, but they are the ones that started it all off. Slave One and the TIE Bomber and the Decimator. Of course, once Scum came out, they also got a lot of bombs. In Scum's introduction, they have the Fire Spray, the Y-Wing, now with the bomb loadout, and the Aggressor ship.
Yeah, most of the bombing platforms that were introduced with Scum and Villainy were familiar enough in that they were things like Y-Wings and Fire Sprays, which you'd already seen in the game. But the Aggressor was a very new platform, and it functioned very differently than all the other ships.
Yeah, usually used for the cannon upgrades, but throwing an ion bomb in there is pretty fun, where make them so they can't turn around, and then you use one of those great S-loops. It's kind of like the Decimator. They don't always have the bomb, but there's some situational usages where it's pretty powerful and a lot of fun.
So now we've gotten to Wave 7 of X-Wing, which was a huge wave for bombing. A lot of new cards and mechanics introduced. The two main bombing platforms that we saw were the TIE Punisher and the K-Wing.
Yeah, and so this is going to really balance out the bomb mechanic within each faction. The Empire is going to get another bombing platform, and the Rebels get their second bombing platform. And at the time of the release, the K-Wing really proved to be the superior bombing platform across all of the factions.
Well, and there's a combination of factors that contributed to that. A huge part of it is the slam action in combination with the advanced slam upgrade and action bombs. The slam action, of course, is a very powerful action. We've seen it now introduced on the Alpha Class Starwing recently for the Imperial faction. But being able to, as an action, basically perform another maneuver and then using advanced slam, perform an action after that slam action where you can drop a bomb like Connor Net or Cluster Mines, proved really effective against those high PS ace ships that we were talking about before.
Yeah, and actually effective enough to get an FAQ errata. The K-Wing can still slam and drop bombs, but now it has to use the experimental interface modification.
Well, another reason that the K-Wing is a really great bombing platform is that it's got such a high number of hit points, which is really important when you're a bomb carrier, because you do need to get relatively close to your opponent in order to drop those bombs effectively. And with a combination of 5 hull and 4 shields, the K-Wing is able to do just that.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because the Punisher has the same stat line. The big difference, though, is that the K-Wing doesn't necessarily have to run at an opponent to deal damage. So here, where bombs are part of your attack equation, but you also get your either primary or other secondary attack options to supplement your bomb damage. The TIE Punisher just has a primary attack, as well as it can take torpedoes and missiles. But the K-Wing has the turret upgrade, and combining that with the slam really made it stand out above the TIE Punisher.
Well, and on top of all of that, one of the best pilots in the game of X-Wing, Miranda Donnie, who has access to a regenerating ability when she fires, made this ship extra durable, where now you could drop bombs effectively, and then when you're using something like a twin laser turret, regenerate shields to add back to whatever durability you lost when you were trying to drop those bombs.
But Tim, Deathrain, so good.
Deathrain's a fun one.
Deathrain is a lot of fun. If you haven't flown Deathrain once, you definitely should try it.
Well, that's a platform I want to try too now that we have Bomblet Generator. Deathrain, of course, allows you can use your front guides to drop bombs, and then after you drop a bomb, you can perform a free barrel roll action. So there's some really cool stuff you can do there. And now that we have access to things like Bomblet Generator, where you have an infinite supply of bombs / barrel rolls, as well as Trajectory Simulator, so you can throw those forward, I think there's a chance now for Punishers to be a little bit more relevant. They definitely were not when Wave 7 launched.
More important than just good bombing carriers, Wave 7 also gave us great bombs. We got the Cluster Mine and Connor Nets, really powerful action bombs. Cluster Mine being able to deal a lot of damage, just 2 dice per token, but you get 3 tokens with the Cluster Mine. So on a big base ship, you can potentially hit them with all 3, dealing a max of 6 damage with one Cluster Mine.
And Connor Nets providing you not only damage, but a really strong control effect, where your opponent can't take actions if they're moving through it after you've set the bomb, and they also receive an ion token.
Actually, they take a damage and 2 ion tokens from the Connor Net. So it's even going to ionize large base ships instantly. We also got the ion bomb, a maneuver bomb, that just deals 2 ion tokens when it detonates at the end of the activation phase.
Yeah, and this bomb is actually very unique and interesting because it is dedicated entirely to a control effect there, but it's a pretty powerful control effect. In X-Wing, ion effects are very powerful, but they're not always the most relevant just because of the high cost and how hard they are to land. But if you can catch a ship, especially a large base ship, with an ion bomb and set its maneuver effectively for the next round, that's a pretty powerful control element.
So I actually really like the design of Wave 7 bombs. We get Cluster Mines and Connor Nets, which are great foils of each other in the action bombs. They're both 4 points. One deals heavy amounts of damage. It can cover quite a wide area. And then we have the Connor Net, which is pretty long in itself for the token, and deals a devastating control effect, taking away actions and dealing ion tokens. So you really have some pretty tough choices as a player wanting to equip bombs there between those two. And then Ion Bomb really perfectly complements the original seismic charges, where you have to choose, do I want the control there or the damage?
And both ion bombs and seismic charges come in at just 2 points. You really have a decision to make there.
And then to complete that all, we got the extra munitions torpedo upgrade, which allows you to get 2 copies of each of your bomb upgrades that you purchase when you take the extra munitions card.
And that really adds to the value of bombs here, especially for ships like the K-Wing, which have those torpedo slots that you're not necessarily using if you're focusing more on the bomb aspect of the ship. But it gives you a lot of value there, where suddenly even the more expensive bombs like Connor Net, you're able to get a second copy for a much lower cost, which just kind of adds to the overall value of the ship and makes it a little bit easier to include these cards in your lists.
Absolutely. I mean, it also helps out like the TIE bomber that only has 1 bomb slot. Well, now you can use up one of your torpedo slots on extra munitions and load up on 2 proton bombs for just 7 points instead of 10.
Wave 7 also included a crew card that was bombing-focused, Bombardier, which allowed you to use the 2-straight template instead of the 1-straight template to drop bombs, which is a cool effect, but it was very quickly outclassed on the crew front, at least for Rebels in Wave 8 when Sabine Wren was released.
Yeah, Bombardier is pretty cool. I've definitely been got by the Bombardier, not expecting to be caught in range of the bomb, and just that extra distance really matters.
But now that we have Sabine Wren, there's really no comparison when you're trying to decide in your Rebel list what bomb crew you want to use.
Okay, Tim, fine. Sabine. Let's just move on to Wave 8. Wave 8 gave us, of course, the Sabine Wren crew, which just adds an extra damage to whenever your bomb detonates.
Oh, and it does so much more than that. Sabine Wren is a 2-point Rebel-only crew card. Your upgrade bar gains a bomb upgrade icon. Once per round before a friendly bomb token is removed, choose 1 enemy ship at range 1 of that token. That ship suffers 1 damage.
1 damage. That is actually quite a bit when we're talking about bombs here. Those seismic charges only deal 1 damage. Well, you just doubled it with the Sabine Wren. And so that threat, plus you have extra munitions so you can drop 2 seismic charges over the course of a game. Now just dealing a little bit of damage to those hard-to-hit ace ships became, that's half their hit points in 1 seismic charge, and if they don't dodge the next one next turn, they're done.
And Sabine Wren actually adds some reliability to bomb tokens that might not necessarily be that reliable. Cards like Cluster Mines and Proximity Mines involve dice rolling, which could, in some cases, end up in rolling blanks and dealing no damage. Well, here Sabine guarantees that even if the ship rolls blanks on the bomb roll, it's still going to suffer damage, so that bomb wasn't entirely wasted. And on top of that, a bomb like Ion Bomb, which is generally dedicated to its control effect, also now deals damage thanks to Sabine Wren.
Yeah, Sabine Wren just basically takes every bomb and turns it all the way up to 11. And so she's the card that sort of took bombing from a fringe strategy to kind of a main staple of the competitive X-Wing scene. She's what pushed bombing kind of over the edge.
Well, and I think that was exemplified when Kevin Lines took Miranda Donnie and Cornhorn to the final table at Worlds.
Right, and then it's been a bombing world ever since.
I think the one final thing I would say about Sabine Wren, too, is that she is interesting. We don't see this a whole lot, but she actually opens up the selection of bombing platforms. Any ship that takes Sabine Wren gains a bomb upgrade icon, so it has access to bombs there. And this has been relevant to me, especially since Sabine's extra damage dealing effect isn't dependent on being on the ship that drops the bomb. I've run lists before where I ran a K-Wing with a Ghost and actually had Sabine on the Ghost, where now the K-Wing could drop bombs, deal the extra damage with Sabine's effect, and I also put a bomb on the Ghost, which often catches people off guard because they're not expecting to see that giant thing start dropping some ion bombs or seismic charges.
Yeah, I mean, so the K-Wing is a great platform for bombs, but Sabine Wren crew is really what makes Rebels the premier bombing faction currently. Scum answers back a little bit down the road, but I think Sabine Wren is still the strongest argument. But that wasn't it for Wave 8. We also got an actual bomb upgrade card, Thermal Detonators, which is my personal favorite bomb upgrade. When I talked about a tough choice between Ion Bomb and Seismic Charges, Thermal Detonators just takes them both for one more point. For 3 points, you get a Maneuver Bomb that when it detonates, you deal one damage to every ship within range one, and it deals out a stress token.
Yeah, this combines kind of the best elements of both Seismic Charge and Ion Bomb, where you're getting some damage effect there, the one damage from the bomb detonating, and you're also getting a control effect, a stress token, which is very relevant and makes it an all-around really strong bomb choice at a pretty good value.
Yeah, and if you're using extra munitions, landing that first thermal detonator makes the second one a lot easier to land.
Suddenly, your opponent's locked into some green maneuvers and makes them a lot more predictable.
Yeah, and let's throw Sabine on top of that for some extra damage.
We didn't see any new bomb-relevant cards introduced in Wave 9. In Wave 10 of X-Wing, we did see the release of the Quad Jumper, which has a bomb slot and a pilot or two that references bomb cards. This has not been a particularly strong bombing platform. I actually haven't seen this ship flown much at all in any meaningful way. I think part of that feeds into the problem that it just has the one bomb slot, which in a world where we've got cards like extra munitions, that's just not enough to make the bomb that valuable.
I think the main reason you don't see the Quad Jumper using bombs that much is it doesn't have that many hit points, and it's only backed up by 2 agility. Your bomb carriers need to be resilient. They need to be able to survive long enough to get past the opponent to start dropping bombs, and that's not really a guarantee with the Quad Jumper.
Yeah, with just 5 hull, they're even less durable than a TIE Bomber is. They're pretty inexpensive, but at the end of the day, they're just not enough to make that bomb really that effective.
But combining the tractor beam with bombs, I mean, there is something there.
And now we get to Wave 11, where one of the most recent, very relevant bomb platforms was introduced, the Skurg H6 Bomber.
Yeah, and so before, bombing platforms have kind of been kept to lower pilot skills. The Skurg kind of broke that rule, with both Captain Nim for the Scum and Captain Nim for the Rebels, coming in at pilot skill 8 with an elite pilot talent slot, allowing him to take veteran instincts going up to pilot skill 10.
Yeah, this was a really interesting design choice. I was actually a little disappointed in it because it seemed like they had gone to such great lengths with especially Wave 7 and the TIE Punisher and the K-Wing, which none of those pilots have elite pilot talent slots. It seemed like they were clearly trying to keep bombing at the mid-pilot range there so players could have some good play around it, where suddenly we got Captain Nim introduced that could get up to pilot skill 10 and have access to some really great bomb options. And it's a super durable platform for bombs. This is kind of an oppressive mechanic that I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, bombing's already pretty good against most pilot skill 9 repositioners, but you gotta at least give him a chance being able to try and barrel roll and boost out of the way. I mean, Nim's the main reason we've seen a lot of ships going up to pilot skill 11 just to have a chance to get out of those bombs or shoot off missiles before Nim can get to you.
Well, and in the Skurg expansion, on top of getting a really powerful, new, oppressive bomb platform, we also saw the most powerful bomb upgrade that has come out in the game yet in the form of Bomblet Generator.
Yeah, Bomblet Generator is a 3.2 bomb slot upgrade card that reads, when you reveal your dial, you may drop one bomblet token. There's some important text there in that you're not discarding this card to drop it. That token will still detonate at the end of the activation phase like all maneuver bombs.
Yeah, so in a weird way, Bomblet Generator functions more like a turret or a cannon where you have an infinite use of them as opposed to how bombs normally function, which is more like a missile or a torpedo. There's a finite quantity, so you really want to make them that effective. This creates some weird game situations now where there's really very few reasons not to drop bombs frequently. Often when you're dropping other bombs, you have to really make a decision like, okay, is this the moment I want to drop it? Am I pretty certain it's going to hit? I don't want to waste all the points I invested by placing this bomb here. Bomblet Generator really takes that away where, well, there's really going to be no cost to me other than potentially hitting my own ship. So more often than not, you find yourself dropping those bomblets, which are pretty powerful in and of themselves.
Right. I mean, I'd rather drop a seismic charge than a bomblet generally, where just that guaranteed damage you can count on, you know, dice are volatile. But what pushes those bomblet tokens over the edge is their ability to deal critical results that thermal detonators or seismic charges really can't do. I mean, because if you compare it to a seismic charge, they're using extra munitions on. Now, that's 4 points. The bomblet generator's 3 points. Those first two bomblets that you drop are coming in about equal to those seismic charges. But every turn after that, then you're just getting straight value. Other ships have run out of bomb tokens. You're still able to keep dropping them. And your opponent's ships have probably run out of shields, and now you're able to start dealing critical damage.
And those critical damage can be very relevant. I've been in games now myself where I've seen a bomblet drop multiple crits on my ships, and they've kind of turned the tide of the game for me. So bomblet, definitely a very powerful bomb card. Powerful enough that it seems to have prompted the errata change in the genius salvaged astromech, where now you have to discard the bomb upgrade in order to drop the bomb after you move.
And yet people still take the bomblet generator, combine it with genius. It's just that powerful.
Wave 11, we also saw a new crew card, Cad Bane, which is kind of the scum version of Sabine Wren. Not quite as powerful, but still pretty effective.
Yeah, it's balanced. It's well designed.
Yeah, it basically just gives you the ability when your opponent's rolling bomb damage, you can force them to reroll that if they roll any blanks or focus results. Makes those bombs a little bit more effective. Not quite as reliable as Sabine Wren, but I think a pretty fair and balanced bombing upgrade card.
Right, and it still turns any ship taking it into a bomb carrier in the same way that Sabine does, by adding that bomb slot.
One of the funnier cards to come out of Wave 11 amidst all these really powerful bomb upgrade cards was Minefield Mapper, which, I don't know, in my estimation, it would be one of those cards that if I were just getting into X-Wing, I'd be super excited about being able to, at the start of the game, basically throw a bunch of bombs out like they're debris or asteroid tokens. It's just not a terribly effective strategy.
Yeah, I do still want to try that on Epic and just surround my opponent's big Epic ship with a bunch of cluster mines. That sounds fun.
But in a standard game of X-Wing, a 3-foot by 3-foot mat is so big that it's going to be really hard to put those bombs in places that your opponent can't just easily avoid. And now we get to the most recent release, Wave 13, where we saw the Resistance Bomber ship made famous by the movie The Last Jedi.
Yeah, the Resistance Bomber didn't come out with any new bombs, but it did come with a bunch of pilots that utilize bombs, as well as the Trajectory Simulator and Ordnance Silos cards.
Ordnance Silos is just kind of a dressed-up Resistance Bomber-only version of extra munitions, where you get 3 additional copies of the bombs that you throw on your Resistance Bomber. Though Trajectory Simulator really is a game-changing card for bombing.
Yeah, Trajectory Simulator is a 1-point system slot upgrade card that allows you to, instead of dropping bombs, launch them with the 5 forward template, placing them in front of your ship. It only works for maneuvering bombs.
And since this is one of the more recently released cards, we haven't really seen the most effective strategy or how relevant it is going to be on the game. But at its face value, it seems like such a powerful mechanic. Throwing bombs forward means that you'll be able to get those bombs involved in the game a lot more quickly. And if you're a ship that depends on a primary firing arc, you're also going to be pointed the right direction, throwing your bombs towards your opponent and then also shooting at them with your primary weapons.
It does mean it's a little harder for you yourself to avoid the bomb, because then your ship's going to move towards that bomb you just dropped. But it does change what I said a little bit earlier, where those bombing platforms need survivability because they need to live long enough to get past your opponent. Well, now with the Trajectory Simulator, that's not necessarily the case. You can start dropping those bombs much earlier and having them affect your opponent.
Well, and with so many really interesting and powerful bomb cards released in the last several waves, it's going to be interesting to see what direction bombing goes in X-Wing. It's been a pretty powerful force since about wave 7 or 8 and has persisted all the way up until now. I don't expect it to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, looking at waves 11 and 13, both pretty new, we've seen bombs take some pretty interesting turns with the bomblet generator and then the trajectory simulator. Who knows what wave 14 will have in store for bombs. Okay, but before we close out, one last question, Tim. What's your favorite art on a bomb upgrade card?
Ah, yes, this is the real question we've been building up to this entire episode. I guess I haven't thought about it too hard. I think I have to go with Proximity Mine, just because I think it's probably one of the weirdest looking bomb cards.
Okay.
What's yours?
Well, as far as art goes, I like that proton bomb. I mean, you get the shot of the TIE bomber and then the bright light of the proton bomb. I think looks pretty cool.
That is pretty neat.
I think the ion bomb looks pretty cool. I just like the art on proton bomb better.
Well, there you have it. Our look at bomb and bomb upgrade cards in X-Wing. Hopefully this has been an informative episode for you guys. We've seen some pretty oppressive bombing mechanics come out in the last couple waves. I'm not afraid to say it. Hopefully it won't become too oppressive. We've got a lot of other great new mechanics that have been introduced in the last several waves. So hopefully those will balance out with all the crazy new bomb stuff.
yeah, bombs served an important role in keeping aces in check, and they've done their job.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go onto facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page. You can actually also leave a review for us on Facebook. We would love to see some more 5-star reviews there. A huge thank you to everyone who's left us a 5-star Facebook review. It's really awesome to see.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going onto iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a shout out to Jay Dorsey, who left us a review on iTunes, saying that he really loves the theme song. Thank you, Jay Dorsey.
Thank you, Jay Dorsey. I also really like our theme song. I think it's going to stick around for quite a while.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going onto patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.